Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Father.
This morning kind of reminds me of a situation we had growing up. The day came where, for some reason, all of us children wanted to scatter and go to different places, play with our friends. And my father said, "Can't you stay home and play with each other?" Well, we all knew when you got a question like that, you knew what the answer was. You did not want to admit the answer, but you knew what the answer was. So we all said, "Well, yeah." And we had this little orange ball. It wouldn't hold air very good, but we would play kickball with it, we'd play football with it, we'd play volleyball with it. And so you think there's six of us at that time, probably from the ages of like 12 to 4. And we decided to try to split up and make the teams as equal as you can make them, 3-on-3. And we got to playing kickball. Well, wasn't long we got over our disappointment of not being able to go see our friends. And we got to yelling and screaming and hollering and playing, throwing the ball, you know, get them, so forth and so on. And some of the neighbors from down the block came down the street and said, "Yeah, can we play with you all? Look like you all are having fun." So we were like, "Come on." And then some more came and it began to get dark. Finally, my mother came and shut it down and told the other children, "You better get home so your parents will know where you're at." So I don't know how many or how few will be here during this meeting. I figured with the COVID and all, you may not see too many. But he gave us the promise that if there's just two or three, he'd be there. And for me,
thank the Lord.
I've heard people sometimes ask, "Well, how was the meeting?" You know, people say, "Oh, it was a good meeting." Well, you can look at it a lot of different ways. Brother Theodore McCray used to say, anytime the word is being read, it's a good time.
Amen.
And then I've seen where some people say it's a good meeting because there was a lot of singing and shouting. I don't look at it in any of those kinds of ways. And for me, it's about, Lord, is your presence really here? Because if it's not, it doesn't matter how much we sing and shout, we're just wasting time. So may the Lord help us throughout this. And his presence to me is not exhibited by how many get saved or don't get saved. It's exhibited by, do we get anything out of what we've received while we were here? It's not based on how many services. It's based on what we do with it and how he speaks to us.
Thank the Lord.
I have been thinking about a song that I haven't heard for a long time, but I want to share the words of it. And sometimes, even amongst the saints, we fail to realize that there is a message in every song. And sometimes we call them just because we think they're going to make us feel good. And that's not the reason for calling, to be quite honest. But consider that any of the songs, the writer is trying to create a scene where we could understand and relate to what their experience was. I have heard some people kind of talk down about songs in the songbook. Well, that's somebody's experience. But it's not just that. They're relating it so that you and I might be able to see, one, what kind of an experience you can have. And two, determine whether you're in touch with God to where you can have perhaps an even greater experience.
Amen.
But too many times songs are sung because, well, I like that song, or I like how it makes me feel. But it's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And if we would think sometimes about the scene that they are painting, and then think about the seriousness of it as you go through this life, and look upon what they're saying and try to get something from it.
Lord.
But the writer said there was a holy hush all over as I walked into this room. And I stood before him face to face. I was gloriously made new. There was a great and awesome presence and a light as bright as day. And as I bowed to kneel with the angels, I heard the Spirit say, "All rise, all rise."
Yeah.
To stand before the throne in the presence of the Holy One. All rise, all rise, as we worship the Messiah. All rise. Then I looked at those all around me, with their heads and their hands uplifted high. And the Spirit laid his hands on me, and I uplifted mine. We were singing hallelujahs, praises to his name. As I bowed to kneel with the angels, I heard the Spirit say, "All rise, all rise." You consider that scene. Recognize, he's talking about standing there after a person has perhaps made it to heaven. You could also perhaps consider people standing there, some are praising, others he didn't speak about would be wailing because now it's judgment time.
Uh-huh.
But the one thing that I consider, do you ever stop to think about the impact of Judgment Day? A writer, that Psalm 503, says something about standing the judgment shock.
Mm-hmm.
And I am persuaded that it will be a shock to everybody.
Yeah.
When that time comes.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, some people in this day and time would call it an event. Or a spectacle, or they have some other way of trying to describe what is going to happen, because in those instances it's more or less something that you haven't seen happen before, or it's on a scale that you haven't seen happen before. But this is something that no one is ever going to have seen.
Mm-hmm.
When all of mankind is standing before God, that will be the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the only time.
Yes.
And no one will have ever seen that scene before.
Uh-huh.
So you consider, I'm mindful that there are some things that astound people. I've been to some of the air shows where they fly and demonstrate the Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds. They'll demonstrate some of the abilities of the planes that they're flying. You'll see other planes there for viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what those pieces of equipment are able to do.
Yes.
And when they're in their formations and they're doing the things that they're doing,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing to just listen to the crowd and the murmur sweep over the crowd.
Yes.
Wow, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazed because they don't typically see that in a daily walk of life. Now, we as children living there in Wichita, and you have McConnell Air Force Base, there are times where some of those planes would be flying over our house.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those tankers sometimes would be flying over the house. And I can remember as a child once a plane flew over, and the neighbor's children, some of them were in the backyard, and we were in the backyard, and we were all looking up.
Mm-hmm.
That plane looked like it was low enough that I could have thrown a rock and hit it.
Uh-huh.
but the sound and the shaking of the house and whatnot was what everybody was caught up with, that right. It's so low, and listen to how it sounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judgment Day is going to be way beyond that.
Yes.
It will be far more astounding. It will be overwhelming. Uh-huh. It will be, however you can describe it, stupendous or what have you, it'll be way beyond that by magnitudes of who knows what, hundreds, thousands, whatever.
Yeah.
And yet when you and I consider it, how often do we stop and think that I'll be ready for that day? I'll be prepared.
Yeah.
And at times I've thought about it from this point of view. There have been times where you've been in school and you have to take an exam, and you take the exam. How many times have you taken one of those exams, thought you did well?
Oh, yeah.
Until they handed the test score back to you.
Yeah,
I've been there. You found out you didn't do so well after all.
Yeah.
And I've seen some other tests where I thought didn't do good on that one. And then once you got the test score back, you found out that I did better than most everybody else. I'm surprised.
Amen.
But the thing of it is that there are times when people feel like they're ready, and the exam shows them that they're not.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I'm more than persuaded that Judgment Day is going to be like that, perhaps for all of us, saved and unsaved.
Yeah.
To begin to realize at that point that I'm not quite as prepared as I thought I was. I haven't done quite as well as I thought I did. You know, I've seen times where I've taken tests and first you think you're doing pretty good with it, then maybe later that day you start thinking about it again and you begin to think, ooh, I missed that. I forgot about this. I forgot about the other. Well, maybe now I might not have done as well as I thought, because now I can think of some things that I didn't think about while I was taking the exam. Mm-hmm. But we're in a time where we need to get ready.
That's right.
And we need to be prepared and consider the impact, the importance, the, can I say, the historical element. You know, I found that sometimes when things happen, people say, well, history is being made. And I heard something the other day where something had taken place just a few years ago, and this person commenting on it said, well, people begin to, I'm going to say, pick at it, you know, find fault with it. And it's like, why worry about that? You were literally watching history take place.
Yeah.
Well, you ever considered that history is going to take place that day? You ever considered the thought that at that point in time, it will be, I'm going to describe it as the final ending of God's word,
yes,
as far as the things that have been prophesied as to they're going to take place. And that is going to be the culmination of all of the prophecies, of all of the bringing forth of the plan of salvation. That's going to be the end of it right at that point in time. That's something that mankind needs to tremble at. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The actual end, if you will, of the word of God. This is the final ending of it all, as far as upon this earth is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think about it from this standpoint. Something so great should make people tremble.
Yes.
It ought to shake them up.
Amen.
But we're in a time where people are so cold, so hard. It's amazing what is being said out there. And sometimes I've considered that, you know, we live in a pretty small world in a sense. Everybody's going about their daily duties. They're doing whatever they have to do, so forth. And they kind of have their world and their friends and their relatives and acquaintances and so forth. But this is going way beyond all of that.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And you look upon it and consider, what kind of an impact is this going to have when that happens? Mm-hmm. Regardless of the fact that he said the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat and the heavens are going to pass away and all of that, I'm just thinking about this little portion of it where we're going to have to stand in front of God and give an account. And I heard something the other day where Oprah Winfrey made a statement, said, well, she's ready to take full responsibility for whether she goes to heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. And people were making comments about it on the net. But you consider, we're going to be held accountable.
That's true.
And in some ways you may say we will be fully responsible for what we do.
Yes,
but it's not something to say in a lighthearted fashion.
No.
And in this particular instance, one young lady kind of confronted her and said, well, you say you're Christian, but you are upholding homosexuality, and the Bible clearly speaks against that. And her response was, well, the way I see Christianity is different than what you see. I made the statement before, but I think about it often, that when the Lord does call us into judgment, he is going to clear up a lot of mess.
Yeah.
And it relates to everything that you see in this world.
Oh, Lord.
There's all of the stuff that you see about police brutality, the things that happened back in slave days, the things that happen now behind the scenes that you don't know anything about,
yeah,
all of that's going to get straightened up.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
And it's not as light of matter as people might would want to make it, because they don't want to face it.
Yeah.
I actually had someone say something to me at the Monarch meeting, that when they heard a certain message, or at least the title of it, they were about to get mad. And I didn't say anything, but my thought was, the reason you were about to get mad is you really don't want people to say that your ethnic group is like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, Lord.
We don't want to face who we really are.
Right.
We don't want to face what we can be. But may God help us to recognize that there's time coming when all of that's going to get shook out.
That's right.
And it won't be a light matter with him.
No.
Oh, no.
And so you and I need to stop and consider, where are we, whether it's along those lines or any other. Lord, help me to make it in and be ready.
Yes.
You consider that there's much to be looked at. So I'm going to go to the 20th chapter of Revelation, starting with the 11th verse. And you have heard this before. He says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John saw a lot in this revelation, and he's trying to describe this last judgment.
Mm-hmm.
This great white throne symbolizes and represents the power and the majesty, mm-hmm, the glorious character of God. To put it in a place where it is without a doubt far supreme above all other beings, all other powers, all other entities of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that Christ sat upon the throne, and the word lets us know that he is going to be the judge.
Yeah.
But you consider, it says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. They are, as the writer let us know, going to be dissolved. It's going to be gone.
Yes.
Now, there are many ways perhaps that you could visualize this, but my thought is that if everything is gone, and if you can understand how man's perspective is, we could lay a tube of six down on this floor until everybody walk across the floor in that tube of six. Nobody would have a problem. But let's put it 20 feet up in the air now and say walk across it again.
Oh,
okay. Well,
that's a difference.
Not everybody will have a problem, but one or two or three might have a problem.
Yeah.
And then let's take it on up higher. We'll put it 100 feet up in there and say, now you walk across.
Oh, Lord.
That's a different story, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you consider, though, that in that day, all of this will be gone.
Yes.
But we're going to stand in judgment before God.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes when people I hear make comments like they say she made, and you see others that I remember even as a teenager, people making comments that, well, if I end up in hell, I'll be there with all my friends. No, you won't. There will be no friends in hell. I don't care if you did know them, they will not be your friend.
Amen.
That's right.
But people take it lightly, and you look around, even in this day and time, there's so many questioning the ways of God. There are so many denying that there is a God. There are so many that want to debate about which way you can live and what you can do and what you can't do. And all of that, when it comes to whether there's differences in what we believe and what others believe, and people can get caught up in all of that, he's going to decide all of that, where we will all be without any doubt as to what God certainly meant at that point in time.
Yeah.
So you consider that there are things that people need to take in a much more serious manner. We come up with a lot of excuses for not being ready, but they will not stand at that time, and there is no escape. He saw the dead, he saw the small and the great. It didn't matter what their condition was in their life, didn't matter what their stature was in this life, how rich, how poor, all of those kind of things, how ignorant or how intelligent, how saved or how not saved. They're gonna all be there.
That's right.
And there's no escape from it. And it says they're going to stand before God. They will have to give an account before God. And he already knows the account because he has the record.
That's right.
But we're going to have to answer
right.
to it.
God,
and as you and I look upon it, you consider, you ever been in a situation where you really had to answer some questions and you're trying to be careful in how you answer? I think of a time I was working on a project, and there were some things about this little project I didn't know. Line department had a walk behind crane. Sits on the ground. You can guide it through a regular normal fence gate, and it has an arm, can reach up on the pole and grab that transformer and bring it down, grab the new one, put it back up there for you. They bought it, but they didn't buy a trailer to haul it around with. I don't know why they didn't do that, but they would take the one of the line trucks that had a boom on it and pick it up and set it on the trailer, and then it have to set it down off a trailer. Well, that meant the trailer they had, you couldn't just back it off of it. I guess they thought they were saving money. But anyway, they finally determined they wanted a trailer that they could just drive it up on and could take it on wherever they want to go. And I told the superintendent I'd like to go take a look at this thing, because they said it had extra wide tires. It didn't have the normal tires like what you have on a car. You know, he told me, you don't need to go. a 12-inch channel is wide enough. Well, there was a few days we go to the line department, some of us, and we would play basketball together. And so I thought, well, when I'm over there, I want to see if I could find that thing. And one day I found it. And I brought a tape measure with me and took a quick look at the tires, and I thought, it's going to be close. But he didn't want me to do anything any different. They made the trailer, put a tilt bed on it, and then they took it over to them to get the machine and going to drive it up on the trailer. And the tires was just a little too wide to go up the web of that channel, and you couldn't get it loaded up, except that it would just spin the wheels. So now, they said, well, what are we gonna do? I said, pretty simple. You cut the channel off, split it, we'll spread it, and we're gonna put some expanded metal in there so it's got something to grab a hold of. It won't be a smooth surface. We'll go from there. Well, the next morning, the question arises, why did we build a trailer where the channels weren't wide enough? And the superintendent's the one asking the question. He's also the one that told me I did not need to go over there. And now I got to answer why the treads aren't wide enough. And everybody's sitting there. The other engineers are sitting there. The other supervisors are sitting there. All three of them. Engineers and technicians. And I thought, okay, how am I going to answer this one? And finally, I just spoke up. The reason that channel wasn't wide enough is you told me I didn't need to go over there and take a look at it. And it got quiet again. Nothing else was said. Because they knew. I don't know if they thought I wouldn't speak up or what the issue was, but it's like, I'm not taking that one.
Don't blame me.
And so you consider, though, that people get caught up in things.
Yeah.
Then they got questions as to why it's the way it is.
Right.
You and I, if we would stop and consider the impact that Judgment Day is going to have on us,
yeah,
individually,
right,
then you'll be checking everything out.
Yeah. Yes,
so many want to rely upon what somebody's creed was. So many want somebody else, even amongst the saints. Some will come to you asking your advice, but they really want you to tell them something that will make it easy for them to do what they really want to do,
right,
in the first place,
right,
which is not measured fully up to God's word.
Right.
Whatever it is that God has been dealing with them about.
Yeah. That's right.
But if you consider the impact and the importance and the shock that is going to be placed upon people when Judgment Day comes, you realize I can't take that chance.
Mm-mm.
And when that happens, and God asks that simple question like he did with the man, friend, why do you not have on a wedding garment?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't say anything, could they?
No.
Because the garments had been supplied.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do is more or less tell them, I need one a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have this size? And they could have said, yes, we've got this right here, or we'll get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when the Lord asked us, why didn't you make it in? Why were you not prepared for this day?
Uh-huh.
We won't have any excuses to give. We can give them,
uh-huh,
but they won't hold up.
Amen.
So you consider how important it is and how much, can I say, weight or gravity it's going to have. Let's put it this way. I've seen some things happen and people get afraid.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of power is being expended right then and there, and it can hurt you or kill you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It gets people's attention real quick.
Yeah.
Well, Judgment Day is going to be that way.
Yeah.
When we are in his presence, and that hush is over everybody.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I considered, I haven't been in a courtroom like maybe other people have, and I don't want to be. I like I told when we were trainees right down the street there, four or five guys walked in, and I leaned over and asked a classmate of mine, I said, who are they? He said, you don't know who they are? I said, no, I don't. Well, they're on the committee. The committee for what? Well, if you get in trouble, or if you're failing out of the program, you have to go before them, and then they'll determine whether you're going to have a second chance to stay in it, or they kick you on out. I said, well, then I don't want to know their names, because if I'm standing in front of them, that means I'm in trouble. But you know, as you go along this way, we're going to know who God is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I won't have to lean over and whisper and say, who is that?
That's all. Uh-huh.
We're going to know.
Yes,
we will.
And you know something else?
I believe that.
At that point in time, you will know whether you are in trouble or not.
That's right.
So may God help us as we go through this life. You consider, as he said, this throne was there. God is sitting upon it. Jesus is the judge. And he's saying here, the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to what everybody else did to them.
No.
Is that the way it's going to be?
No.
It's going to be according to how you responded to what everybody did to you.
That's true.
See, we lose sight of that. And you can see it in this world today. Sometimes my wife thinks she's free. She knows now when I'm about to start picking at her or teasing. And she'll just say, stay focused, stay focused. Like, whatever you was doing, you need to keep doing that. Well, it's going to be that way. And it is that way right now.
Uh-huh.
Where the focus for everybody is to be ready when Jesus comes.
That's right.
Yeah.
To be ready where we can rise and yet be in a place of safety. But most people are distracted with the things of this world.
Yeah.
Others, sometimes even amongst us, are distracted with what can you do and what you can't do.
Right.
And we can get into a whole lot of debate and discussion about that.
Yeah.
But have you ever really had a discussion with anybody where instead of debating all of that, they said, well, let's talk about what can we do to be more ready?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to be more prepared? What can we do to make sure we are ready?
Lord bless.
You had anybody debate that one with you?
Oh, Lord.
See, we get distracted with a whole lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And as we learned as children the hard way, my father used to tell us time and time again, you are not missing anything.
Uh-huh.
Well, we thought we was.
Yeah.
But you kept hearing it, you kept hearing it, and then later you begin to realize, I'm not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are, you are missing out on getting strung out on drugs. You're missing out on getting strung out on alcohol. You're missing out on a lot of bad decisions that could ruin your life before you even have one.
That's right.
That's what you're missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to look at what everyone is doing according to their works. And there's no place to hide. It says the sea is going to give up the dead which are in it. I've sometimes thought about all the different wars that have been fought. The Spanish galleons, the ships they had back then, and a lot of them got sunk in storms, and sometimes they were sunk in wars, and the Egyptians be fighting others, and they had their navies, and the Romans had theirs, and the Grecian people had theirs, and they'd be fighting. A lot of people have perished out there in them waters.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the things that happened in World War II, submarines sunk, carriers sunk, and you have 1,000 young men on there or more. And now most of them are perishing in those things because of what's happened. And then you have others that have said, well, you know, cremate me and then scatter my ashes out on the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I wonder how far apart some of those particles end up when it's all said and done. But when it's time to stand before him, it said the sea is going to give up the dead, which is in it.
Uh-huh.
Death and hell, Hades will deliver up the dead which are in them,
mm-hmm.
and they will judge every man according to their own works.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
You know, we must be ready. And we get, if you will, a lot of dress rehearsal time.
Uh-huh.
All of the meetings you ever been to were dress rehearsals.
That's so.
Time to get yourself checked out and make sure everything is ready. And you know, I've noticed something about that too. You take, like, say for instance in a wedding. I remember we're all getting prepared and Sister Teresa came in and said, all you brothers supposed to have a little boutonniere on. I've got it. I didn't hear anybody debating with her about how she was putting them on us. I didn't hear anybody say it's not right. I'll do my own. You know how sometimes we can get, well, I'll get it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear anybody say, I'll put my own on. They were standing there and then after she got done, they maybe turned to somebody else. Am I looking all right? You understand what I'm saying there? They were more than glad for the extra help to get prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And they were concerned about, am I looking right? Is it all right? And somebody might come along, well, let me do this right here. And you know, because I know how to button my shirt. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I know what it's all about. But somebody might say, well, hold on a second. And they do this or that. And sometimes you're almost like Peter was with Christ when he was washing their feet. And he finally told Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. He's like, oh, well, if you're going to be like that, you can wash my feet, wash my hands, probably for good measure my face too, because I want to be there.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way it is. But when it comes to living this life, too many times people get caught up where, I know, you can't tell me. And it's like, you're talking about going to a wedding.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. But look at the approach and the attitude that comes forth in a lot of people's lives and through a lot of people's mouths, which tells you what's in the heart.
Yeah.
So may the Lord help us as we go along in this way. And you consider that everybody is coming forth. You know, it's not going to matter how you die, whether it was by cancer or heart disease or whatever. You just went to sleep and didn't wake up. Doesn't matter what condition you're in, everybody's coming back.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what your economic status is.
Uh-huh.
Rich man, poor man, beggar man, king, we're going to all be there.
That's right.
That's right.
And we need to stop and consider where we are in this life.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Recognizing that there is no escape as we go along this way. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse, says, for we know if this that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, these bodies, were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands that is eternal in the heavens. But consider here, it says, for in this we grow. Now you might could say, well, I'm gonna let the apostle speak for himself, because people aren't so ready to just up and leave this world as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that if they could leave right now, they would be gone right now. And I'm not talking about the ones, because I've heard some say, well, why can't it just be that the Lord save me and then just take me?
Uh-huh.
I think we heard the other night in Bible study, or maybe it was Wednesday night, Brother DeMar might have said something, but somebody said something about it don't work like that, because there's some things God wants us to go through.
Yes.
And but that's how some people look at it. But what the apostle is saying here is that we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven.
Yeah.
Like the desire of the child of God is to get to heaven.
That's true.
So when it mentions groan, and there are times when people say things in church, prayer meetings sometimes, and what it does for me is it makes me start thinking about different songs.
Uh-huh.
It says here we groan. Why? Because in this life you deal with the trials, you deal with the tests, you deal with the troubles, the heartaches, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that makes me think about the song they used to sing, now I know my Savior is there. I'll bear my burdens and my load of care. If he goes before me, I will go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, As you look upon it, you consider that he's showing you that we are earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Mm-hmm. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Yes. We must be concerned about how we appear before God.
Yeah.
We do not want to be naked. That means to be found lost and wanting and not where we need to be. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We want to have that eternal life. You want to be where you don't have to suffer and you don't have to deal with aches and pains and all these kinds of things that people bring along the way when they living in this life. But we're looking for this mortality to be swallowed up in that. It says, now he that has brought us for the selfsame thing is God. The one who has created us to serve him, it is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit.
Praise
so
the Lord.
Sometimes people want to know, well, how do you know there's a heaven? How do you know there's a hell? How do you know there's a God? God has his own way of speaking to each one of us where we can know that there is something beyond this world and we need to get
ready
for.
Amen.
He has his way of giving us something that will establish to us that this is true. I remember when we bought the house, we had the lady spoke said, well, we're looking for serious buyers.
Amen.
I don't know what they thought about us. And the wife's response was, we are a serious buyer. And once it came down to where they wanted me to tell them how much I'd be willing to give, make an offer, I remember the realtor lady, she was standing there like, come on, but I'm thinking, or trying to. And finally, I told the lady what I would offer for the house. And she said, well, I'll have to call in and let them know, and then I'll get back in touch with you and see what they say. So I thought, well, I make my offer, and I'm not trying to steal it from them, but I think this would be a reasonable offer.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to go a little less than what it was, what I offered. But I thought, well, I wanted to just blow it away, so we'll see. We get home about 30 minutes later, you get a call that says they accepted your offer. And then I thought I should have went lower. But the price wasn't a bad price for buying the house. So I didn't feel like I got taken or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about all of that is that they found out that, yeah, we're serious and we're prepared to do business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I could understand her saying what she said, because whoever, somebody else tried to buy the house and they didn't qualify, they thought they did. I don't know how far they got before they found out they didn't. So I don't know if she was making a judgment on us or what, but she found out, no, they're ready to go.
Uh-huh.
And it went on from there. But you and I need to be serious about this. And the thing that bothers me is that I see so much of it in this world. And I know the writer said love of so many is cold, and they're going to lose their homes of gold. This in God's word is told. And he did say the love of many will wax cold.
Yes.
You see it in this day and time. We see it right amongst us at times.
Absolutely.
Where people are not having a burning on fire desire to serve and live for God. They want to do what they want to do.
Amen.
Or they want to get by with it where it's an easy way for me to go.
Yes. Lord,
help us, Lord.
I often think about it. One of my teachers one time, she thought nobody's message should be any more than 15 minutes. And I thought, let's stop and think about what we're saying. You're a teacher. You got your degrees.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you had not one class that lasted only 15 minutes. And when you went past 15 minutes, I guarantee you she didn't get up and walk out of that class and that's all I need to hear. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Our mouth can condemn us before we even begin to think about standing in front of God. And when she was teaching us science, and then in another, my eighth grade year, she was my English teacher. I thought, if I'd have stayed in her class for 15 minutes and then got up and packed up my little books and like I'm getting ready to walk out the door, the question would have been, where are you going? Uh-huh. I done hurt you for 15 minutes, ma'am. That's all I need. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow. That wouldn't have gone over.
No.
But when it comes to getting into God's heaven, you only want to hear 15 minutes?
All right.
That's all you want? And you want to try to get into his heaven? Because what you're really saying there is, it's almost like what you're really saying is, I don't really want to be involved in this. No. So in another way, you're really saying, I don't really want to go to heaven.
Oh, Lord.
May God help us as we go along the way. The shock of this thing is going to be way beyond anything we could ever imagine. Yeah. And if you think about the things, and everybody's got their own, what should I say, infirmities, what shocks you may not shock me, but everybody's got something that'll shake them to their core. And Judgment Day is going to be something that shocks everybody. You can say, well, I'm not like you, or I'm not like this one, or I'm more laid back than the other. He's going to get everybody. That's why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Yeah.
And so you consider, as we go along, we need to stop and think about this, and then recognize too that when he says we groan within, it's really just letting us know that the soul has a desire to get back to where it came from.
Amen.
Get back to God. And so we need to stop and consider what we really are and how we're really made and what we should be doing as we go along. When we read on here, he says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk here in the flesh, we are not physically in his presence. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Everybody's not so willing. Now, let's understand, and I remember reading one commentator says, we're not supposed to have a desire to die before it's our time.
That's right.
So whatever the purpose is for us being here, we need to be busy in fulfilling that purpose.
Lord,
and typically on something like that, you know, if you're trying to get ready for some event, if you're trying to get ready to go out of town, or you go to a funeral, you go to a wedding, don't you try to get things done when you can get there on time and be prompt and whatnot? Well, you consider that. You don't just go there before time. And you don't just ignore getting ready. And it's the same way with us spiritually. So we have this time to get ready. We have this time to seek God. We have this time to do business with him as we come along this way. And that's why when I look at some things and you look out over different crowds in different settings, you wonder, what did people really come here for? What did they really truly come here for? But we read on. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So we want to be where, regardless as to how we stand, we will be accepted of God when that time comes. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then he says, no. Therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm going to stop it right there, but you consider. The apostle knew something about the terror of God.
Yes.
Knew something about his power. And yet, even now, it may be hard for us to fathom, and I think that's why man tries to so easily dismiss whether there's a God or not, whether there's a heaven or a hell, is, well, I haven't seen it. But I'm mindful. I was in the training class, and the power transformers, these big transformers, there's a place on there where air gets into the transformer. But before it gets in, it comes through this desiccant, which takes out the moisture. And depending upon the color, a lot of times it'll be a real nice, pretty blue, but once it gets saturated with moisture, it turns pink. So they're telling us about it in a training class, And someone asked the instructor, says, well, what do you do with that? Well, we just throw it away and we put in a new batch. Open up a gallon can, pour the whole can in there, and put it back in place. We go on down the road. So then they asked the question, is there a way to like regenerate it or restore it where you could use it again? He said, no. And I spoke up and said, yes, there is. He said, no, there is not. I said, yes, there is. He said, well, how can you say that? And I said, well, if you take that desk and stick it in an oven and leave it there for an hour or two, it'll turn from pink back to blue, and that'll tell you that all the moisture's out, and you can use it again. And he said, well, I've never seen that before. Well, by this time, some of them had found out that I used to work in power plants. Some of them had found out that I was an engineer, and that's really not what makes you know that. But he said, how do you know that? And I said, well, we use desiccant to take the moisture out of hydrogen gas, and that hydrogen gas is used to cool the generator. And I said, you have twin towers. One of those towers is always in service, and the other one, when it's not in service, there's a heater that kicks on and dries it all back out. And then when the other one gets saturated, you flip the lever over, and now this one is back in service. I said, it's 1950s technology. And he's like, well, I've never seen it. So somebody spoke up and told him that just because you've never seen it doesn't mean that it can't happen. And then they spoke up and said, and we will believe what he says before we'll believe what you say. Well, see, by that time, some of them had figured out that, well, he's a religious person and he won't tell a lie. So if he said it, it must be true. He's seen it someplace.
Thank the Lord.
But you consider that as we go along the way, people can look at this and they get cold and say, well, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the other. Well, it doesn't mean that it's not true.
That's right.
And God has given enough revelation of his word to everybody.
Amen.
Where they can see that there's a God that rules earth and heaven if they will accept what they see.
Yes.
And so you and I, as we consider it, we must labor therefore that whether present with him or absent with him, whether we're in the flesh or in the spirit, we must labor to be acceptable with God.
That's right.
And if we know something about his terror, then we will also try to persuade others that, look, you need to stop and consider.
Yes.
You need to get right with God. You need to do what you need to do, and you're going to have to give up some things, and you're going to have to change some ways, but it's well worth that.
Yeah.
And that's really why he calls upon all of us to be examples, so that others can see that, well, yes, you can live a certain way and be blessed. And we need to get ready. We need to get prepared. So as we go through this life, you can see that it's going to take some labor on our part.
Yeah.
And some have to maybe work at it harder, if you will, than others. You know, some people with some things, it's easier for them to pick up for whatever reason than it is for us. And I'm one of those where I used to tell people that I can get on the computer and do some things, and they said, well, you can just try things. You won't mess it up. You can't lock it up. So you ain't never seen me lock one up. So on some things, I tell them, even now, I said, my IT department, I hand it to Sister Ava. Here, do this, do that. Change this. Why is this like this? And she can do this, that, and the other. And then, okay, here it is. All right, fine. Saves me a whole lot of trouble. But what does that really say? What it really says is I am not putting forth the effort to really learn how to do it myself, because it's quick and easy to give it to her. But when it's all said and done, what if she's out of town like she was a while back when she went to go see her mom? And now something happens, what am I going to do? Well, see, right now I can get by. I call my baby girl, hey, come over here and fix this for me. hurry up, you know.
Yeah.
And you go on from there. But if they're all tied up and at work, and I want to get something done, then I got to sit down and start grinding through it till I get it straightened out, and then I can do what I need to do.
Yeah.
It's the same way with us spiritually.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
You could try to make it easy. Well, I'll just go give it to the preacher. I'll go give it to the Sunday school teacher. I'll go to somebody that is going to tell me something that's kind of more in line with, you know, they'll be easy on me.
Yeah.
You won't get by that way. Because the day's going to come when you'll have to stand on your own.
That's
and
right.
If we don't stand now, when judgment day comes, how are you going to stand before God then?
Lord, help us.
And he's saying, the apostle is saying, we are confident. We have a basis. We have a foundation. We have grounds for why we feel confident and faithful in God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when that day comes, everybody's going to have to stand on their own experience.
That's right.
Amen.
Stand before the Christ.
I could try to put in, if you will, a good word for you. You ever tried to do that with your sister or brother? You see they in trouble and you try to speak to mama or daddy, well, but see, it was like this, this. What kind of response did you give? Or maybe you didn't try to defend your brother or sister. But I've seen it happen, and the first thing it says, did I ask you anything? Which is a nice way of saying you had best shut up before you get some of this.
That's right.
And so you just get quiet and you just stay out of the way. It's like, I'm just going to have to watch them go down in flames, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But you know, in the day of judgment, it's going to be that way. I'm not going to be able to speak for you. You're not going to be able to speak for me. No one's going to be able to say, well, but see, Lord, it was like this. They grew up this way. They grew up that way. Or they didn't get this or they didn't get that. He knows all of that.
Yes, he does.
All of that's going to be factored into his decision and his judgment. And you and I won't be able to influence him, the Spirit, or the Lord Jesus in any way when it comes to that. But think about it. When you look at that, and they sing that song, and you can get people shouting on it. My home is on the rock, and it talks about withstand the judgment shock.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to wonder, when all of this disappears, and I have to think that it'll be a whole lot of shaking when it happens.
Uh-huh.
But I have seen where when things get to shaking, people get nervous.
Uh-huh.
Get nervous.
I've seen where when they start up those units at work and we're down in the shop and it shakes the building.
Uh-huh.
But I've also seen times where it would shake it and make a sound and you think, okay, that wasn't normal. And somebody might even ask, you think we need to go see what's going on? It's kind of like saying, do we need to get out of this shop?
Uh-huh.
Because we way down here 100 feet below ground.
Yeah.
And so it catches people's attention when things get to shaking and they don't sound right. Well, there's a lot of things don't sound right now with the things that people are putting out, the things they're teaching, and some of the things that they won't teach. Some of these ministers I've seen where people are saying, well, they won't teach repentance. They won't teach against homosexuality. Heard one saying that, well, they feel like 99.9% of the people aren't bad. They're good at heart. And I have a big, huge issue with that. But I have seen saints say, well, I think they got a good heart.
Uh-huh.
He said, now, wait a minute. Look at what they're out there doing.
Yeah.
That's out in the open for everybody to see.
Yeah.
That you know the Bible plainly speaks against, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whether it's stealing, whatever. Uh-huh. Look at all of that. Mm-hmm. Look at what they're saying when they do the talking that they do. And as I told somebody, said, you can use a little bit of truth to tell a big lie.
Yeah.
And you want to tell me they're good in heart?
Uh-uh.
I can't accept that. But I have seen saints say that. Well, I think they got a good heart. No. And so may God help us to stop and consider, I've got to be faithful and honest and true with God, because that day is coming. And I want to be able to stand there. Now, I have seen some in a very dangerous situation. They can stand there flat-footed and be calm and begin to realize what needs to be done to rectify the situation. That's where you want to be, to be able to stand flat-footed. And if the world is shaking and you can realize that Jesus is coming, you can say, come, Lord Jesus, come.
That's right. Amen.
May God help us to be faithful to him and recognize that the time is coming when we're all going to have to rise. We're going to all rise up out of the graves.
Yeah.
And I even thought, too, when I was in children's court with my son and the judge come in, maybe not every time did everybody have to stand up. But what I did notice was everybody was quiet.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was sober.
Yeah.
And there were things that you might would say had nothing to do with whatever decision he was going to make. But I noticed that he didn't allow people to have ball caps on in his court.
Uh-huh.
Somebody had one on, he said, take that hat off.
Uh-huh.
Somebody chewing on a little gum, get rid of that gum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, we can debate about a lot of, oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, that's not necessary. Oh, I don't see that.
Uh-huh.
What you're really saying is my view of Christianity is different than yours. Well, that's fine. But he's going to make the final decision.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I need to stop and consider, am I really ready to hear what he has to say? Pray for me.
God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen.
502.